Amen. All right. Good morning. Glad to see all these bright, shiny faces this morning. Remember, last day of April, Friend Day. So remember to get these people signed up, get the addresses right on the cards so that Pastor can send out a letter. All these people, we want to do everything we can to encourage people to come in to hear the Word of God. Let's see here. Do we have any visitors this morning? Any of our, you got a visitor, Betty Lou? All right. Well, good to see you here. She's a visitor, but a long time member too. Good to have you here this morning. Do we have any others here this morning? Mrs. Lemon? And where's Debbie? Debbie, we're glad to have you this morning. Glad to have you. Good. Good to see you here this morning. All right. All right. Do we have any others? All right. Well, let me encourage you that are visiting here to be back next week. I think that our pastor will probably be back next Sunday. He's asked me to fill in and teach for him this week. I called last night, and Mrs. Smith said that he's doing well. She said he's up walking around with a cane, and she said he actually was able to go down the back steps and out into the yard, and she added this, with supervision. And so she's watching over him pretty close. And she said he's hoping that he can be here this morning for the church service. They're not sure, but he's going to get up and start getting ready. And they're just going to kind of see how that goes. But if he feels like he's able, then maybe we'll see him here this Sunday. But I'd certainly want to encourage you people that are visiting and haven't heard our pastor to be sure and come. He's been teaching. Now, I don't know what he'll teach next Sunday if he's here. Being as Easter Sunday, he might have a special lesson. But he has been teaching a survey of the Bible and going through every book in the Bible and just showing us the key points and bringing out some the main or the central truth from each of those books. And it's a helpful thing. Some of these books, just little old bitty books in the Bible that sometimes we just kind of pass over them. And yet there are so many nuggets and so many great truths hidden within these things, and he's bringing a lot of these things out, and it'll kind of, you'll kind of spark us to want to go back and study some of these little books ourselves and learn about them. And you know, it's always an amazing thing to me that some people can be saved for decades, never even read the entire Word of God through. That's an amazing thing. Well, you know what? Before we get started here, let's let our ushers come on down. And we'll get ready to take up our morning offering. We've got our prayer list here. Hope you can continue to be in prayer for Brother Dockery. And, of course, for our pastor. But Brother Dockery's going through another round of chemo. And I understand he's really had a rough time with the first round and the second round. And now he's going into his third round. So we need to be in prayer for him. Continue to be in prayer for Brother Fawn Nye. And he's praying that his... they've been working for a long time towards getting his sister over here from another country so that she can come and care for him, and they've run into delay after delay. But I asked Brother Thon about that last Sunday, and he said, well, she's coming. You know, he's hard to understand. It's real hard for me to understand him and everything that he's saying after working. Maybe I pick up about a third of it, but I got enough of it to understand that he feels like, yes, she is going to eventually come, but he really needs someone to be able to stay with him and to help him. And so we need to remember him in prayer. And let's go to Lord in prayer. And let's see, Brother, would you pray for us, please, sir? Yes, sir. Man. I'm going to try, if I don't forget, not to clear my voice and cough into this microphone many times I did last week. My wife told me about that. And so, did that block it out a little bit? I don't know. And I think my voice is a little bit better this week, but I've still got this problem going on here. So, I don't know if this ever happened to you people, but it happened to me every once in a while. It happened to me just this morning. You look at people and you draw a blank on what their name is. It's embarrassing. I looked around here. I couldn't think of anybody's name to call on to pray. I'm a little nervous when I get up here. But I remember going soul winning one time with a deacon in our church that I had known for years. And I went up there and we knocked on the door and these people came to the door and opened the door. And I said, "I'm Bob Hallmark from Val Verde Baptist Church. And this is," drew a blank. Know this guy for years. Couldn't think of his name. So, embarrassing. All right. I want to read, before we start the lesson this morning, let me ask you just a question. I'm just curious. How many of you have this little book, Straight Paths? Isn't that a blessing? I'm going to tell you. My wife and I, we got this thing, and I guess we've had it for about 6 months, but we read this thing every day, along with our, when we get up, and along with our, in our Bible time. It's been a blessing. And I want to read today's, I just want to read this to you, some of you that haven't had this, and just, it's great. April 5th, in Luke 4:31-32 said, "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And those who heard our Lord teach were amazed that his words were so powerful. He spoke with an authority unlike that of any of the religious teachers of their day. And we too can testify to the miraculous effects of God's word has on its hearers. We have heard his words of truth in our hearts. God's word can do what none other can do. The Word of God has the power to break up the most stubborn and hardened hearts. Jeremiah said, it is like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. It can convict the lost sinner of his hopeless condition and convince him of his need of salvation. Like a sword, the Bible is able to divide the soul and spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows our hearts when we ourselves are not able to know them. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, but God's word can make our motives known to us. The scripture has the power to convert the sinner and break the bondage of sin. We are born again by that incorruptible seed. His word is able to build us up. The word of God cleanses us like the washing of water. It is able to equip God's servants, making them thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What a great privilege we have to possess a copy of this supernatural book. We enjoy a gift that multiplied millions of people have never known. However, the great power of this book is not realized because we possess it, but more so because we believe it and apply it. We ought to love this old book that we call the Bible. It reveals the greatest truths known to man. It shows the way of salvation and the consequences of sin. It points the wayward soul to Calvary's hill and to the sacrifice for transgressors. It tells of a home beyond the stars that awaits those who have claimed the gift of eternal life as their own. It instructs us in matters of godly living, the family as God intended it, the church that Jesus loved and died for. We owe it to ourselves, to our neighbors, to our God to discover this powerful treasure. Live in the pages of this glorious book. Let its words be forever written on the tables of our hearts." Man, that's a lesson right there. If that's all we got and went home, we'd have something right there. The Word of God. And what I want us to look at this morning is conditions for successful Bible study. Conditions for successful Bible study. God's given us a wonderful book here. And there are certain principles set forth in the Word of God that we must adhere to if we're going to profit from the Word of God. Now, it's absolutely certain that if we will meet these conditions, that God has set forth in his Bible, in the Word of God, if we'll meet the conditions for successful Bible study, that God will, by His Holy Spirit, burn His Word into our hearts, and He will change our lives. Listen, I like that old scripture I think it's over in Proverbs, and it says, "Have I not written unto thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth?" The certainty of the words of truth. And we can be certain, if we'll follow the instructions that God has given us here, that God will bless His Word in our life. Now, some of these verses, some of them we're going to turn to, some of them I'm just simply going to read to you, because we're not going to have time to go through all this. A lot of these are real familiar verses. But number one, you must be born again. The first prerequisite for being blessed and being able to understand the Word of God is that you must be born again. In 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned, but neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. So the natural man, the man who is unsaved, cannot understand the things of the Word of God. When Nicodemus, that Bible teacher himself, a Bible scholar himself, and he came to Jesus, and he said, "We know that thou art a man come from God." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What Jesus was telling him, he said, until a man is born again, until a man has been saved, he is blind to the things of the Word of God. He's blind to spiritual truth. He can't see it. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but have you ever thought about what it would be like to be blind from birth? Now, when we're born, we're spiritually blind. We're spiritually blind until we get born again. But to be physically blind. Now, you and I, if we were to become blind, we would be able to, I could feel something like this, and I would be able to draw a mental picture in my mind. Because I've been able to see. And so I would be able to, I could feel something, and I'd be able to draw a mental picture. I could hear the wind blowing the leaves if I became blind, and I would be able to draw a mental picture of what was going on around me. But someone who has been blind from birth, they can't draw a mental picture of what it would be like to see something. They don't have anything to relate to. They've never seen anything. And God is telling us here, this is what He's telling Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born again, he can't see the things of the Spirit of God. He has nothing to relate to. These things are spiritually discerned. And so number one, we must be born again. God always gives us more truth as we respond to the truth that He has given us. The very first truth that God will ever reveal to anyone spiritually, the very first spiritual truth, is their lost condition, that they are a guilty sinner before God. That Jesus Christ died for them, paid for their sins, that God loves them, and that God wants to save them, and that they must repent and turn to Him and trust Him for salvation. That's the first truth that God will ever reveal to anyone. When a man responds to that truth and he's born again, then he is in a position where he can begin to take on new truths. Now he can see. Now this world that he had no conception of, suddenly Christ is real. Suddenly God is real. And so, number one, you must be born again. Number two, we must have a love or a desire for the Word of God. We must have a heart desire for the Word of God. Now, we talked about this scripture a little bit last week. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And then, of course, the next verse, it says, if so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. All right, so He said, if you've been saved, you've been born again, God has put this hunger in your heart for the Word of God. But now listen, we've got to cultivate that thing, because it's possible we can lose this hunger. We can lose that hunger if we're not careful. And so, but God said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He said, if you're going to grow, and if the word of God is going to benefit us, then we've got to have a hunger for the word of God like a baby has for milk. For milk. Now, how many of you ladies have ever had a baby? Let me see hands. All right. All right. And you men, you've been fathers, you've seen a newborn baby. And let me tell you something. When that baby wants its milk, there's nothing else that's going to satisfy. I mean, they'll be in there, and man, they're just, and they're screaming their lungs out. You can pick them up. You can bounce them on. Daddy can go pick them up, and he can bounce them on his knee for a little while. Sometimes that's just all they want is a little bit of attention. But when they want that milk, and they're hungry for that milk, there ain't nothing going to stop that until they get the milk. And they'll be screaming at the top of their lungs, and boy, as soon as they get that nipple in their mouth, it's just like, and then you start hearing all these little contented sounds. Boy, they're going after it. God said, if we're going to grow, we've got to have this hunger in our hearts for the Word of God. Now listen, when you're trying to feed your kids right, all right, you're making healthy food for them, you don't let them sit down before mealtime and eat a bunch of candy. Because if you do, they're going to spoil their appetite, aren't they? They're going to take something that's not good for them, and then when they sit down and hear something that's good, they're not hungry. Not hungry, and they're just going to pick at it. They're not going to eat it like they should. They're not going to eat that thing which is good for them. Now, where we get into a lot of trouble ourselves, folk, we eat devil's food. We fill our minds with things that are not clean, things that are not right, things that God said, all these evil things that come from within that defile the man. We turn on the television. We watch a lot of these things. We read books. We fill our minds with a lot of these unclean things. And guess what? We lose that hunger that we had for the Word of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, when He came into us, He's the one that gave us that hunger. The Bible tells us in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit is going to be our teacher. Now, if we grieve the Holy Spirit of God by the things that we allow to come into our hearts and minds, it's going to dull that sensitivity, and we're going to begin to lose that hunger. Listen, we can fill our minds with things that aren't in themselves bad, but we can get so wrapped up. Listen, you can get so wrapped up with sports and just thinking all the time about sport. We can get so wrapped up with politics. I'm interested in politics. I'm interested in anything that has to do with military. But if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up in these things and get our minds so full of these things that we are not hungry for the Word of God. And so we got to work on this thing of keeping our minds empty, as it may be, and to have room for the Word of God. You ever gone to the grocery store when you're really hungry? And you don't have, man, you go by, man, this looks good. I'm going to have some of this. This looks good. I'm going to have some of this. And if you have just eaten, you stop eating before you go to the grocery store, I guarantee you most of the time there's a whole lot of that stuff you're not even going to pay attention to, and you're not going to put it in your basket. But when you're hungry, man, everything looks good. And so, listen, if we'll cultivate that hunger, then when we go to the Word of God, we're going to be hungry, and it's going to look good because our mind has not been filled with a lot of other things. All right, so we've got to have a desire for the Word of God. Job said, I have esteemed His Word more than my necessary food. So Job said, the man that God said was the greatest Christian in all the land, he said, if I have a choice between my necessary food, I mean that which I need to maintain my body, and the Word of God, so I'm going to choose the Word of God. Dr. John R. Rice had a policy in his life. That policy was no Bible, no breakfast. He said, if my schedule is such that I'm in such a rush that I don't have time to read my Bible, then that means I don't have time to eat my breakfast. So if I'm going to do without one of those two, I'm going to do without my breakfast, and I'm going to have that time for the Word of God. All right, so number one, you must be born again. Number two, there must be a love or a desire for the Word of God. Number three, there must be a willingness to commit to work at Bible study. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, that word study carries with it a meaning of work. It's work to study. I mean, it's something you have to get serious about. It's not just a casual thing. Now, I believe the most common reason why Christians don't grow is a lack of commitment to work at Bible study. I believe that's one of the most common reasons we have. So many Christians will just try to squeeze in 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day, maybe. And we'll give God the sleepiest 10 minutes of the day. Or we'll try to squeeze in that one chapter a day after we've done everything else that we want to do. But we're going to have to give this thing the right priority in our lives if we want God to bless it. Now I want you to turn in your Bible here to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 and look at the picture here that God paints. Look at this picture, Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1, and try to visualize this now as you're reading this. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." All right, now so picture this. So God is giving out his words, and he said, if you'll receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. All right, so here's a picture of God giving something to someone, and it's precious to him. He said, I'm going to hide this. This is something I want to keep. This is something I want to hold on to. He said, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. All right, now picture that. Now, listen, here's a picture of someone. The Word of God is being preached, or someone's reading the Word of God, and the picture God is painting here, someone is inclined thine ear unto wisdom. Here's someone that's focused, and they're leaning forward. They don't want to miss anything. They want to hear, and they want to get what God has for them. So if thou receive my words, hide thy commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. This isn't a casual Bible reader here, is it? I mean, this is someone that is serious about the Word of God. This is somebody that wants something from God. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, and notice verse 5, he says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. God said, when you get serious about my word, and when you work at studying my word, you're serious in your heart, and you're focused on it, and you're crying out to God, you want to know what God has for you, he said, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Now, the psalmist, David said, Psalm chapter 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, bear from your scripture, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He said that God is going to bless the man that meditates on the Word of God. And so, it's not just, you know, don't just read it and forget it. Listen, study that Word of God, find a verse, get that verse, memorize that verse. Think about that thing as you go through your day. Think about it. Meditate on it. I believe it was R.A. Torrey that said you'll gain more by chewing and digesting 1 pound of meat than you will by walking through the market and glancing at tons of meat. All right? And so the same thing applies to the Word of God. Meditate on that Word of God. All right? Number 4, you must be surrendered to the will of God. Do not study the Bible to satisfy your curiosity, but study the Bible for the purpose of finding and doing the will of God. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 in verse 17. John chapter 7, verse 17, Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." All right, and so Jesus here, these men begin to question and say, "We're not sure about what he's talking about. Not sure if this man really knows what he's talking about, if this is really true." Jesus said, here's the key to understanding. He said, if any man will do his will, he'll know of the doctrine. He said, if any man is willing, has the will, and has set his will to obey God, to do what God reveals to him, he said, he'll understand the doctrine. They said, that's the key. He said, that's the key to understanding. You're not going to understand unless you have already decided that you want to be obedient to God, you want to obey what he's telling you. He said, now if he has, he said, it's going to give him an understanding. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Turn to the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night," and notice this next statement, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." And so what he's saying here, it's important, and a very important prerequisite for understanding the Word of God is having predetermined that when God reveals his Word to us, we're going to do it, having decided that. And so God says, if we'll approach his word, having decided, "God, I want you to show me something for my life. I want you to show me what your will is for my life. And when you show me that, I'm going to obey it." Now God said, if we'll approach his word in that matter, then he said, "Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then shalt thou have good success." All right, so number four, we must be surrendered to the will of God. We must have predetermined that when what God leads us to understand, we're going to be obedient to that truth. Number five, we must be obedient to the truth revealed. Not only must there be a general attitude of heart that, "Lord, I want to know your will, and Lord, if you'll reveal it to me, I'll do it." But then there's got to be an obedience to that when God does reveal it to us. I want to turn your Bible to Mark chapter 4, while you're going there, if you remember that statement that James said, he said, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, in Mark chapter 4, verse 22, and this is one of those, to me, is one of those verses that kind of makes you stop, and when you just read that one verse and look at it and say, huh? Mark chapter 4, verse 23, says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And we read that and say, "Well, now, wait a minute. That's what ears are for, is to hear with." And so we just look at that statement and say, what in the world is he saying here? But if you go on to verse 24, "And he said unto them, take heed what you hear." Take heed what you hear. All right? So when he's talking about having ears to hear, he's meaning someone who is going to hear, and then they're going to be obedient to that which they have heard. When my wife and I were on our honeymoon, we went in December, and we camped out by a lake, and the lake was frozen over, and my wife said, "I want to get out there and walk on that ice." And I said, "Don't get out there and walk on that ice, because you don't know how thick that ice is. That ice just might break." But being the obedient wife that she was, she stepped out on the ice. Now, all right, she heard what I said, but she didn't heed what I said. And see, this is the way we are a lot of times with God. God reveals something to us, and we hear it, but we don't take heed to it. Now, fortunately, the ice didn't break, but you know what? It could have. And so, but when God gives us a warning, God says the ice is going to break. Folks, it's going to break. And so we need to be careful about that. But he said, all right, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now, So what he's saying here, when he says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. All right, what he's saying here, the degree of importance that we put upon the truth that God reveals to us is going to determine how much more he gives to us. He's saying if you put a great degree, a weighty measure on the truth that I've revealed to you, then you're going to obey it. And if you obey that, I'm going to see that it was important to you. My word was important to you. My word mattered to you. Guess what? I'm going to give you some more. But if we come to that place where God reveals his will to us in a matter, and we're convicted about a matter, we understand something, and we say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to mess with that. I don't believe I want to do that. You know what's going to happen? He's going to close off the faucet. He's going to close off the faucet. He says, unto you that hear shall more be given. For to he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from that shall be taken even that which he hath. When my son, Kip, when he got his first bicycle, and I was working with him trying to train him on riding his bicycle, he had a cousin that lived down at the end of the block. It was a long, long block. I don't know, it's probably as long as two or three of our regular city blocks. And I got him out there on that street. We didn't have a lot of traffic on our street. And I said, all right, son, you ride down to that first mailbox, and I want you to turn around and come back. But before you turn, I want you to look back and be sure there are no cars coming. You look ahead of you, be sure there's no cars coming. You look back, be sure there's no car coming before you ever start to turn that wheel. When you see there are no cars coming, then you turn around and you come back. And all right, so I'd get out there and I'd watch him. He'd ride that bicycle down there and he'd turn, look back, and he'd come back. Got him do that a number of times. Said, okay, he's listening, he's paying attention. Said, all right, now you ride down to the second mailbox. And I want you to watch, make sure no cars are coming. You turn around and you come back. He goes down there, and he makes a turn. He forgets. He doesn't look. All right, come back. We're going to start this thing all over. You go down to the first mailbox, and you turn around. And listen, this is the way. And you know what? Eventually, after trial and error many times, you know, he got to the point where he could ride all the way down to his cousin's house. But before I let him do that, I had to make sure that he understood the importance of doing what I told him. And eventually, we even let him go all the way down to the B&L grocery store about a half a mile away. But listen, it was a little step at a time, because I had to know for sure that he realized that it was important for him to do exactly what I was telling him to do. Now, this is the way God works with us. Listen, he's going to reveal something to us, and he's got to know that this is important to us. The way he's going to know that is if we're obedient to it. When we're obedient, he's going to say, you know what? All right, we're going to move on to the next step now. But I don't know if you've ever come to one of these places in your life. I've come to it. I've come to a place in my life. God was blessing my heart, and I was close to the Lord. Everything was going along, and there was some little something that I just would not yield to. Just would not yield to. And you know what happened? It started to dry up. I wasn't getting what I used to get out of the Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now that doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, if we just read that right off, you think, wait a minute. Why is he doing this? He's explaining all this stuff to the disciples, but he's talking in parables to the other people. And they said, why are you doing this? And he said, because I don't want them to understand what I'm talking about. Now that's what he said, wasn't it? All right, now go on. Let's look on. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not, in hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, notice this next statement, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should hear with their, they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Jesus said, I'm speaking to them in parables because they have closed their eyes. They have closed their eyes and they don't want to see because they don't want me to heal them. They don't want to be converted. And so he said, I'm not even going to reveal my truth to them. Now that's what he's saying here. They had already set their will against responding to anything that he had to say. And so Jesus said, I'm just going to speak to them in parables. And so it's very important as we approach the Word of God, if we want to get something out of the Word of God, we've got to go to the Word of God surrendered, having determined that whatever God reveals to me, God, that's what I want to do. We study the Word of God not to satisfy our curiosity. He's not going to satisfy our curiosity. He's not going to reveal something to us just to satisfy our curiosity. He's going to reveal truth to us when we go to the Word of God trying to find the will of God that we may do the will of God. And then when He reveals to us the will of God, we're obedient to the will of God. And then He reveals more of the Word of God to us. Number six, we must approach the Bible with a childlike mind. Approach the Bible without a preconceived opinion. Don't go to the Word of God trying to prove your philosophy, but go to the Word of God trying to find the mind of God. Look, if you would, in Mark chapter 9, in verse 30. Mark chapter 9, verse 30 says, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee and would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Read that verse 11. And he taught, read that verse again, 31. And he said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Now, that's not the first time that Jesus had told them this. You can look back a little earlier in the book of Mark. Jesus had told them this before. But I want you to notice that next statement. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Now, I find that to be a remarkable statement. They understood not that saying. They didn't understand that. Jesus said, I'm going to die. He'd already told them this before, told it to them several times before. He said, I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised the next day. He said, they didn't understand that. Now, why didn't they understand that? If you do some reading here, you'll find that the disciples, they were wrapped up in this preconceived opinion that he was going to presently ascend to the throne. This is where their mind was. Here's the King of Israel, and all of the teaching and all the things that he had taught them, this is what was in their mind. He is going to presently ascend to the throne. And so when he told them the Son of Man is going to be killed, it just didn't register with them because they had this preconceived opinion. And so when we go to the Word of God, we need to be so careful not to have a preconceived opinion. We need to be careful about that. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, when the Apostle Paul speaking of the people in Berea, he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the Word with all readiness of mind and then searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul said, now, you know, God looks at this. This is something that's noble. God said, when we hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, he said, all right, I want you to receive that with an open mind, with an open heart. He said, then I want you to go to the Bible and you prove by the Scripture that that's actually what God is saying. And so we need to look to the Bible, not to support our preconceived opinion, but to find out just exactly what God has to say about it. So approach the Bible with a childlike mind. Now, number seven, study the Bible as the Word of God.
study the Bible as the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Just think about this for a minute. What if, just suppose, you had a knock on your door one day. You went and opened the door, and there stood before you an angel of God. An angel of God. You recognize this? This is an angel from God. You knew it. I mean, he's shining. He's glowing. He reaches in here and he says, well, listen, right kind of him. But anyway, he said, I have a letter right here from God. And he wrote that letter to you about 4 o'clock this morning. About 4 o'clock this morning, God wrote this letter. God has something to say to you here. You knew it was an angel of God. You opened up this thing. You saw this writing. You picked that up and got a little smear of ink on your finger because it was still a little bit wet. I'm going to tell you something. I believe, if you really believe that, I think you'd sit down and you'd read that thing, and you would read that thing, and you read it over and over. I don't think you would just say, you know, I'll take a look at that a little later on. I don't believe you'd do that, would you? Listen, I think sometimes we don't respond to the Word of God like we should because we don't understand how God relates to time. But God over, he said in one scripture, he said, 1,000 years with the Lord is as yesterday and as when it is past and as a watch in the night. Now, Hebrew watch was 4 hours. A watch in the New Testament time was 3 hours. And so, what he's saying here, what he's trying to get us to understand, God doesn't relate to time like we do. In the mind of God, and he's trying to give us something we can understand. God lives in the eternal present, okay? But trying to give us something to relate to, he said, just kind of think like that maybe 1,000 years is like 3 hours with God. And God says, I am the Lord, I change not. And so, you know, it's like that. 6 o'clock this morning, or 4 o'clock this morning, God sat down and he wrote us a letter. And he sent it to us. And it's still fresh. It means exactly today, in the mind of God, exactly what he meant when he wrote it. I want you to turn for just a moment to 2 Peter. All right, we're going to wrap up here. So I got about, actually I don't have any time left. We're going to take about 2 minutes. Preacher does it all the time, cheats, so I'm going to cheat too. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, I want us to look at this for a minute. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Doesn't say it's not for any private interpretation. It said it's not of any private interpretation. That word of is talking about origin. And he goes on to say, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what he's saying here, he said, understand this, and knowing this first, said, this is, man, this is important. This is one of the first things we need to understand about the Bible. These men didn't write down what they thought God wanted them to write down. He said, that's not how it happened. They didn't interpret what they thought God wanted them to say. But it said, these men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what he's wanting us to understand, in fact, you'll remember the context of that where he said, he had talked about how they had actually seen Jesus Christ and they had seen him glorified. They had heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So they had actually heard the voice of God, and then Peter went on to say, but we have a more sure word of prophecy because we have this written word of God. And these men didn't write down just what they thought they wanted that God wanted them to say. They wrote down exactly as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so when we approach this Bible, we need to understand we are reading the very word of God. So you must be born again. There must be a desire for the Word of God. There must be a predetermined surrender to do the will of God. There must be obedience to the truth revealed. We must approach the Bible without a preconceived opinion. trying not to prove our own philosophy, but trying to find the mind of God. We must study the Bible as the Word of God. All right, we're through. You can take some time, turn off your cell phones, go to the restroom, get a drink, and be back in here at 10:30.